Welcome to Back Porch Chats,
where we have conversations about hope, grace, and recovery.
Our mission is to shape 12-step communities where sponsors and sponsees support each other to move beyond the shame of abuse.
We are dedicated to sharing knowledge about the connection between addiction and sexual abuse with people who are struggling to stop their destructive compulsive behavior.
Are you ready to embrace freedom from your past trauma?
And help others do the same? If so, grab a cup of coffee.
And join the conversation on the back porch with Vince.
And Gina. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Gina. It's showtime once again here on the back porch.
Yeah. Have you done your breathe in sparkle, breathe out sludge?
Oh, I need to do some of that.
I know.
There's some sludge in my brain. It's called holiday sludge.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good. It's like, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Sparkle and sludge.
Yeah. It's generally self-induced. That's our guest. Y'all just heard. We are so excited about this lady. This is a special lady who is, who we met a few days ago at a meeting with Drug Education Council. We've got an event that we are a part of and going to help promote and stuff here in a second. Talk more about that. But I met this lady, and this is one of those people that, I remember her walking up the stairs, and I'm seeing her, and it was like it was my sister or something right away. She hugged me, and I hugged her, and we just met at the top of the stairs, but I had known her like 20 years.
Right.
I've known her a lifetime. I don't know what that specialness is that you just connect away.
It's that Fair Hope thing.
Trust me, it has nothing to do with Fair Hope. It might have a lot to do with a lot of things, but it has nothing to do with Fair Hope.
Touched both of us. I mean, you know, she showed some artwork, and I remember the wave hit you, the piece of art with the wave. Overtaking, I think it was a man overtaking a man, a father. It hit you in one way. It hit me in a completely different way because I'd had a dream about a wave coming in and overtaking me and my son trying to protect me. So, I mean, there's art. One person's vision of art can be someone's, you know, completely different vision. And there was this man who did this piece of art, and then there was you who took it one way and me too, who took it a completely different way. It made an impact. I finally understood that dream, and for years I didn't.
Well, you know, art for me, and what that particular picture you're talking about of the man and the wave is crashing over. See, I related that to my child abuse. And see, what I love about art is art can express for me in ways that words seem to fail. I instantly connected because Tamlin... That meant something to Tamlin, and she brought up and talked about how we feel crushed under different circumstances.
Yeah.
And she didn't have to say a lot. I knew that she knew. And then I think she saw in my face that I knew, that she knew, that we knew, that everybody knew. And there's in that connection.
Yeah. And, for me, that piece was I had just come out of divorce, and I was overwhelmed with, you know, newly divorced. And in the dream, my son was hovering over me to protect me. And this, I remember, that's what I wanted, was that security, that protection. And the only one I had to give it at the time was my son. So, yeah, it meant a lot to both of us.
You know, so let's
go.
Yes, Ms. Tamlin is... Albritton. Is that correct? Tamlin?
Yes.
Albritton.
Yes.
All right, we'll start again. Our guest today is Tamlin Albritton, and she's got 40 years as a art teacher, teaching art. She has worked with people people who've recovered from abuse and stuff like that. And she's a big believer in the connection between recovery and art, that there is a real connection in that. Being a musician myself, I understand that. So I'm going to bring Miss Tamlin on and just let her sparkle invade this podcast and take it along, and then we'll talk about this very special event that we got coming up in Mobile, Alabama, and in Fairhope, Alabama, in January, the first two Fridays in January. So, but Tamlin, come on board. Bring
Hey,
your sparkle
Vince.
In this.
Thank you. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Tamlin.
Oh, yeah, I'm honored to be here and excited that more people will know the power of art. And as you mentioned, I've been an art teacher for well over 40 years. And my students have been, you know, high school, college, but last 13 years, I have taught in rehabs. And not only working with the, I like to call them students, my students, not only working with my students, but I work with their families, because mm-hmm. addiction is a family issue.
Yes, it is.
So what I do is, when I work with the girls, I have several pieces of art that I always do with them first. And one main project that I do is for them to think about where they are now and where they want to be in the future. And we talk about feelings that they have now, and we talk about behaviors that they have now. And then I want them to think of where they want to be, where it's like, say, 5 years. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Do you want to be going to college? Do you want to, you know, have a good job? Do you want to be married? And so what happens here is it helps them to imagine where they want to be, because if they can put it in their head, then their body automatically moves towards that.
Right.
Okay. So you have to have something positive to work toward. So,
right. Early, I think that's so important, because early in recovery, all they're thinking about is the things that they messed up. I know I was, you know, God, I got to pay mm-hmm. my medical bills now. I got to repair my relationship with my mom. I got to, you know, figure out how I'm going to transport myself. I got to take care of my job. All I was worried about was fixing. I wasn't looking to the future. But also, after we've done so much, you know, I'm part of the reason I started drinking was I lost hope. You know,
I
that happened early as I was drinking. I didn't have any hope. And then when I got sober, I mean, I wasn't ready for hope. But if we can push that along a little bit, it mm-hmm. helps. It helps to avoid relapse, to know that you're working towards something and not away from something.
Yeah, I talked about that last night. I mean, it's important that we, those of us addicts that are recovering and everything, it's important that we feel this need, mainly because of judges and families and threats of divorce and being fired and stuff, that we move away from that drinking and stuff. But that is not even half the picture. No. I try to work with my people. That's not even the starting line. That gets us to the starting line. This whole starting line is designing something different that we really want, and learning how mm-hmm. to replace the other with something different, move on. So that's kind of what I hear
right.
you talking about. And art can be a very big part of that.
Yes.
I know I'm preaching to the
yes.
choir. But
this is a piece of artwork that is that I also like to do with all of my students at the very beginning, and it's called Inside Outside Box. And for those of you who can't see, what it is it's just a plain box. It's like 4x4, and they decorate the outside however they want. And it represents how they present themselves to the world. Okay. So this young lady, she has the words perfect on it. She has pearls, flowers, lace. She has an A+, the word confident. So this is how she presents herself to the world. Now, the inside of the box, when I open it up, it's all black. And it has the words sad, afraid, alone, broken, hurt. And on the bottom, there is a black flower that has blood on it. And this is how she really feels. Now, what is so cool about this is that I'm not a therapist, but I work with therapists. And this is so good. I mean, this is just, you know, a perfect place to start with a client as to, you know, why is your outside pink and your inside black? Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens is the student sees and discovers about themselves that they're being superficial, that they're not showing who they really are. And in this case, you know, this young lady was a perfectionist, and you'll see some of the black is seeping out of the top of the box, and she wanted to throw the box away because she thought it, you know, it wasn't any good. Well, there are no mistakes in art. And what's happening is the black from her inside, her insecurity and her alone and her grief is seeping out. So this is a wonderful way for the student themselves just to see more about what's not working for them.
Well, also, too, conversation starters. I mean, if I'm trying to explain to my husband, not my real husband, now I'm feeling on the inside, and I don't even know how to approach that situation. You know, where do you start to tell your mom that you feel empty on the inside? How do you explain depression to someone else who doesn't understand? Well, I mean, that box is so impactful. As soon as you saw it, I understood what it meant without any explanation. You know, what a great way to start a conversation.
Sometimes in therapy, words aren't enough. You know, they don't even, they're not there for you to use. Here's another example. You talk about a father. This, again, this is the one that you were talking about earlier. When I had the father and the daughter in the art class together, the directive was, how do you feel about your daughter being in recovery? And she was having a bad time. And so he made this huge wave. We made it with Model Magic, which is a great clay to use. You don't have to bake it. It just air dries. And this huge wave is overcoming this little house that he made out of cardboard. And all of his family is being washed away with this wave. Well, when the young lady in a rehab saw it, she realized that this is how her dad felt. And it was overwhelming, where before she just, you know, was unhappy with him because he didn't get what was going on in her life. So it definitely brought them both together. Right. She understood more about what he was feeling. And it was, you know, art is a wonderful tool in discovering more about yourself and the people that are in your family.
I had forgotten that was a sculpture.
I had forgotten that.
I remember that from the painting, and I'd forgotten that. But boy, it's really, really powerful as a 3D sculpture. You can feel the weight of the crashing waves.
And there's no way that this family in this piece of artwork was going to survive. But that's how the dad felt. So the daughter could understand better what her dad was feeling, you know, because I'm sure he never said that. He couldn't find those words.
You know, too, that was that with a communication aspect, instead of saying you did this, you know,
yes,
that was his perfect way of saying, I feel this. And it's a non-threatening statement to the family, to his daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Love that.
Here's another example. This was a young boy. And the directive, I was working with the whole family, and the young boy made this artwork, and he had no words to share when I asked him. We always share at the end of every art project because that's when the magic happens. Okay? That's when they're not talking about themselves. They're talking about their artwork and it's safe.
Right.
So this young boy couldn't even share what was happening in this artwork. When I said, what is the title? It's, what about me? Okay. So here his sister, who has the addiction, and the mom and the dad, who are so involved with her. And then here's the young 9-year-old boy who doesn't have an addiction, but he's in a family that is, you know, not paying attention to him because he's an okay kid.
Yeah.
You know? So again, when the parents saw this, they were like, oh man, what are we doing? You know, we need to pay more attention to our other kids.
Right.
The ones that are not struggling.
Yeah, let's talk about that just a little bit, because that just strokes a lot of in me of where I am after being in this recovery 27 years and all different aspects of it. I just slowly have burned down to the part that it's the family, it's the family, it's the family. And mm-hmm. the whole family thinks that that young man that's stuck in the corner is okay. And he is not okay.
No.
I think I really relate to that. He is just as much as at risk for later on, especially drug addiction, because of trying to medicate the pain of loneliness and not feeling important. Mm-hmm. Definitely a candidate for suicide mm-hmm. because
no one cares.
No one cares. I'm not important.
Right.
You know. So that's the
depression, anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
You know. But now, though, with this one art lesson, the family sees it.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. now they're aware and they've discovered, you know, what's happening. So, and the daughter was also there. The daughter was also in the room and with the art project. So she's like, oh man, I'm, you know, I'm not messing just myself up. I'm hurting my little brother. You see, so it's a visual. It's a mm-hmm. visual that helps clarify what's going on.
You know, the, one of the big lies that we tell ourselves, those who are addicts, is this only affects me. Why should you care whether I get drunk or high or live on the streets or any of that stuff? It only affects mm-hmm. me. But that's a big lie. It does affect. Gina and I have just recently gotten certified in a line of work with families called Invitation to Change. It's put out by the Center for Meaningful Change. And one of the things that we've learned in that is that the whole family is affected by this disease and are not communicating or not working in the wrong way. Everybody is just focused on changing somebody's behavior and going to any lengths as far as, you know, controlling them, cajoling them, abusing them, doing aggressive, assertive.
Enabling them.
Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Enabling them, doing stuff for them that they should be doing for themselves, and all that stuff's going on. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest pieces that I found working both Al-Anon and everything, is breaking through this, and I'll call it delusion. Some people call it denial, but I call it delusion. That the problem is something else than what it really is, and help having people get in touch with the fact that the problem is something else. So there's another mm-hmm. different set of behaviors that have to be addressed is a really big, huge challenge with us. And we've already tap danced all over it, and we're going to tap dance some more. Words fail us
right.
a lot mm-hmm. of times
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. a word. You know, I can say a word that means something to me, and I'm trying to move it in a new direction. But you, as the listener, brings all this prejudice and education and everything to that. And it's tough to ignore when you see a piece of art where the kid's in the corner.
Yeah.
In the corner of the room, you know.
And that reminds me, Vince, when you talk about everything has different meanings. A lot of times when I work with my students, if they would make like something red, I would say, you know, if red had a feeling, what would it be? Because for one person, it may be pain. Another person, it may be fear. Another person, it may be passion. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is we need to let the student know that whatever color they assign to a feeling, that is okay. It's not a mistake. In fact, let me show you this. This is out of one of my books, Art with a Purpose. And I wanted to show you this because this is finger paint feelings. And what I do is I have the students like paint what fear looks like to them, paint what anxiety looks like, paint what sadness looks like, what chaos looks like, because then they can see the difference in their feelings. Because sometimes they may be mad, but they feel depressed. They don't give themselves permission to be mad, so they put another feeling on it. But what happens here is the feelings become separated and distinct. So they get to understand how they're feeling about things rather than being in denial.
Mm-hmm. I want to stop just a second for the audience listening. We're getting a lot of images and it's really hard to visualize those. So those images will be linked to in a number of different places. Just look in the description below, and we'll put the links out there. Tamlin, you're recording this for YouTube or for your website?
Yes.
So we'll go ahead, and it may not be in right away. We'll have to see when Tamlin gets that out, but there will be other links right away as well. So
yeah, and to her books.
Yes, to her books.
She gifted me her How to Be a Superpower, and which I have read, and it's meant a lot to me. That's that book right there. So we'll also. You know, we've got people that come on and we push their books, and they're good books and they're valid and stuff, you know, but I can't, I wish there was a way that I could ding an extra special star to say, this book has impacted me.
Yeah.
All have impacted me in some way, but this one has really impacted me. And, you know, I love it. We can make it all kind of take the threatening out of it. It's for children or whatever. And my thing is, okay, take this book. If you got a toddler and you're an adult, and go take this book to the toddler and work it with the toddler. But you better put your big girl or your big boy panties on, because it's gonna affect you. This might be written at a very easy understanding way, but the power of it is adult size. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yes.
Adult size power
and
in this book.
In this last book, How to Be a Superpower in 7 Easy Lessons, it's a little bit different than my other books. My other books are art lessons within a lesson plan format.
Right.
So anybody can facilitate it. You know, I mean, the more people that get out there and understand how they can discover more about themselves through these art projects is wonderful. But this one, the Superpower book, is about helping kids realize that they are a superpower already. And they have a way to transform themselves with the right approach.
Right.
And it gives the kids tools to utilize their power with proven methods that are not taught in school. It's about energy, and it's about having your own personal space. And so, yeah, that's a great book too, if I do say so myself.
Oh, it is wonderful. I love the sludge out, sparkle in.
Yeah.
You did
sparkle and sludge.
That's right.
And we do this at the beginning of almost all of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is they have to think about a color that represents, you know, chaos, and they're going to be blowing that out when they breathe. And they're going to think of a color that represents peace, and they're going to be breathing that in. So you breathe in peace, you breathe out chaos 3 times, and you see the color going through your body, because then you release yourself from all of this negative energy that, you know, the depression, the chaos, the fear, and you start with a clean slate. And this is a wonderful way to start my day, to start my classes. And we get the most out of our lives when we can color breathe.
I mentioned to you earlier about meditation, how I go through the day. I'm not a real big one to sit down and do meditations, and my life goes better when I do whatever it is, but I do many meditations during the day when I catch myself in that the anxiety's ramping up, and you know, and that's just been a real simple thing, a concept for me to catch on is, and I love it, because see, my color for my anxiety after we did that is brown. It's just this orangey brown, and it's no small thing that it's the color poo-poo. you know, because I'm really, I'm a big
just breathe it out.
Yeah, and see, I'm a big believer that most of what goes on up in my head, most of the thoughts that go on in my head, it's caca, it's poo poo, it's shit, it's crap I'm making up, you know, and I just, you know, I can breathe that out, but breathing it out's not enough. I got to go one more step. It's because if I leave it there, I just make more. So I got to breathe the sparkle in, replace it with sparkle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's a void.
It's a void.
Okay, so this reminds me of another really super art project that I do. And that is positive and negative thought, either puppets or symbols. And this way is a way to recognize if you're having all those negative thoughts, okay? So this young boy made two symbols. The symbol for his positive thought are a light bulb. The symbol for his negative thoughts is a time bomb. And so what happens here is whenever a negative thought jumps in his mind, he thinks of a time bomb and he recognizes it. And we talk about if you have negative thoughts, your body just moves in that direction. You need to capture every thought and get rid of it. So we give them tools on how to get rid of their negative thoughts. And so they stay in a positive state of mind a lot more just because they have a visual of what their negative thoughts look like. So, Vince, what would your positive thought symbol be? And what would your negative thought symbol be? I'm going to ask you too, Gina.
I'm thinking.
In this book, I have a whole bunch of examples. Like, you know, of course, angel and devil, which is, you know, predominant. But here's, you know, like the open mouth of a snake and a butterfly, or, you know, a cave and a meadow, or it could just, again, be colors.
Positive thought for me is the beach. Love
the beach. Okay.
Love the beach. Just black. Negative thoughts, just black. I can't imagine an image. It's just... Just darkness.
That's good. I mean, if you can imagine black going swirling around in your mind, that'll make you realize, you know what, I need to change my state of mind and my train of thought here.
You know, my initial reaction is resistance. And it's on so many levels. My first thing is, this is silly. Sorry, don't mean to be disrespectful, but that's my reaction is, this is silly. This is beneath me. And then my second, then my brain's going to jump 180 degrees out. I'm just going to be proving how stupid I am because I can't get this like normal people, you know. So that those are the negative thoughts that go. And so I have to actually breathe and relax a little bit and let my sparkle, let my child catch up. Negative nanny.
Yeah, that's such an adult reaction, though. I think it's so typical.
Yes. And you know, kids can do this easier than adults can because they can just play with symbols. And okay, so you use the word resistance. If you have, what in your mind signifies resistance? I'm thinking,
I'm thinking.
A chain.
Okay.
Or a stop sign.
For me, it's that brick wall. The brick wall.
You know,
if there's a brick wall.
A brick wall. Okay.
I imagine me, someone standing in the room, slinging their arms around, spinning with their arms out, very, very fast and very, very energetically saying, hug me. So it's kind of that resistance of I want to be loved, but I'm so.
But you can't get, yes. It's sort of like holding your hand up and going like this.
Yeah.
It's two things at the same time. Hug me, but I'm not going to let you close.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you come in for the hug, you're going to get hit by a flying spinning fist.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
All right. So that's
so that could be your negative thought, your negative symbol. So whenever you have something negative going on in your mind, like a tape recorder, okay, so what you can do is think of now as your positive symbol and just focus on that.
You know, when you first told us this, I envisioned in my mind those two paddles, the negative and positive, and a nail on the door of a teenager, you know, teenager's room. Let's put the positive one on today. I'm open. I can talk. And let's, you know, this is an open space. We're good today. And the negative one on the door going, not right now, you know. And what a great sign for a parent to go, oh, you know what? I'm going to have to wait till that sign changes so I can have a conversation and find out what was going on when she was in that negative mode. So,
exactly. And see, that's good, though, because then they know. They know that they're in a negative mode and, you know, don't talk to me right now or, you know, I'll be there and, you know, tomorrow I'll be feeling better or an hour or whatever. So, so it's all about symbols. That's what's, you know, that's what helps us become an Imagineer. And an Imagineer is a child or anyone who can imagine the future, imagine what a better life would be. And that's, you know, that is significantly what I'm trying to get my students to do, no matter what age, is what is a better life going to look like for you? Right. So that's why I do the, you know, the now and future. In fact, here is an example of one that is definitely a big difference between now, where they have written bored, sad, alone, immobile, scared, mad, negative thoughts. And then on the other side, where they have their future, they've written hopeful, happy, free, loyal, ambition. And so again, this helps them to be an Imagineer. It helps them to imagine what can happen if they stay on the road to recovery, or if, you know, whatever is in their, you know, their life that they need to change. So that's pretty, you know, that's what I definitely try to get my students to do, because you have to have hope. You know, you don't want to be in a bad situation all the time, because then you just, you know, you just feel worse and worse and worse all the time. So you definitely need to feel hope. In fact, let me see. I have another picture around here somewhere. This is one another student artwork, and it's two hands reaching for the light. And this happens to be the piece of artwork that the Mobile Drug Education Council picked for the marketing of this new project that we're doing in January. And what I love about it is that the student titled it Hope. And this is a, you know, a student that had been in recovery for like 3 or 4 months when I met her. And her artwork was, you know, at the beginning, very maudlin, very scary. And, but that's okay, because it's getting it out. It's getting it out and on paper. But finally, after about 3 months or 4 months working with her, this is what she's doing. She's doing Hope. And, it's, you know, it's good to see. It makes me feel good that she's hopeful and she can make a piece of artwork that is going to be represented for this project called Art in Recovery in January.
Yes. And before we get into that, I just want to say that this whole Hope thing, it took a lot of courage for me to get in touch with what I was doing that was destroying my life. But it took twice as much courage, and it's still a call to courage every day to stay in that place of hope. It just feels good that if I stay in the negativity, beat myself up, that's something that I can control and blah, 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 blah. But if I go into this optimistic hope place of participate, you know, goodness will come your way. Man, it just takes so much courage. So That's why I really need the connection, and that art helps with that. Having said that, I digress. My positive picture that we were talking about was me on the front of a boat heading out to the Gulf of Mexico, feeling that excitement of being able to be on the Gulf for the day and the spray hitting my face, because normally spray is what it represents. I don't need to get too heady with this, but it's kind of like what normally can be a bad thing is really the opportunity, the spray hitting my face. So that's, I just wanted to go back. I did. It took me a while, but I got to it, and I'm going to use
it. See, that's good. So you have homework, Vince. I want you to draw this. I want you to draw both positive and negative. And do not judge yourself. Okay, it's just a remembrance. So you will know what the picture is for positive and what the picture is for negative. And you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be compared. You don't even have to show anybody. But your homework is to do this just so you will have a more clear identification as to what state of mind you're in.
Good. And I won't get a grade. That's my kind of
homework assignment. I'm not grading.
Yeah,
you.
That's my kind of homework assignment right there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard to grade art. When I was a teacher in public schools, I had to do it. But it's, everybody has a different personality, a different character, a different way of, making art. Some people, like my brother, he's very technical. He does small, detailed things. And I love bright colors. I use big shapes and patterns. But we're both creative. Right. So, if we had the same art teacher, one's going to get an A and one's going to get a C. Yeah, that's not fair, So I'm not going to grade you.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's not you grading me that really does the damage. It's me grading myself. So
exactly.
Okay.
Remember this.
Yes, ma'am.
Art is not like math or science. It doesn't have to be perfect. And whatever you do, say, I meant it to be that way.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good.
You assigned him homework. I was going to tell you, I'm like, I don't know the right word for it at the moment, but I'm a diehard. I was signing myself homework before you even gave him one.
I saw you writing something down. Right?
Yeah, it is the end of the year, and every year for New Year's, I probably will do it New Year's Day, but every year for New Year's, I do a vision board. And I was loving the now future with the bodies, and then the two hands. On the one hand, I could have alcohol, I could have bills that I can't pay, I could have broken relationships. On the other hand, I could have, and then each finger have something positive. I love this idea, and I'm hoping to take it to a couple groups of people in recovery and the vision board idea. But that's what a great aspect or thing to add to your vision board to see where you are today as you're in recovery, early in recovery and struggling, and where you could be tomorrow.
Yes.
I love that idea. So I got homework too.
Yay. Okay. Another really cool assignment is a thief collage. And that is where they, make a collage of newspaper or magazine pictures and words of what their addiction has stolen from them.
Oh, good.
Okay, it's stolen time, it's stolen relationships, it's stolen, a lot of what you were just talking about, Jeannie. But then at the end, again, in all of my classes, I always have a discussion at the end where they share. And most of the things after they share and they realize, oh my gosh, my dad stolen all this from me, pets and everything. But at the very end, I'll say, okay, which of these things will you get back when you choose to let it go? And they won't get time back, but that's about the only thing that they won't get back. They will, they will get their smile back. They'll, be able to go back to school or whatever. So that is another great project.
One of the things that I do with first things that I do with the new alcoholics and addicts that I work with is we sit down and I draw a piece of paper and put it two columns on a piece of paper. On the left-hand side, we do everything that it's cost us, freedom, money, relationships, jobs, mm-hmm. everything the addictions cost us. That list is pretty big. And then on the right hand, I said, okay, and everything of lasting value that it's brought us. And I did that for years and years. And obviously the on the right hand side, there's usually nothing there. It hasn't brought. I won't let them use recovery. I say, because you don't have recovery yet. We're working towards that. So that'll mm-hmm. get there. But I've
That's great project. That's great.
But I have added in line of what you're doing, I've added a third column now. And that is, what do you want? What do you want? What do you really want? It's kind of what mm-hmm. you've done, you know, and then we boil that down that before in my thing, we would focus on what you lost and what you're going to gain, nothing. But it's for me over the years, it's got to go to that third column. Okay. What it is that you really want, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And
that's where becoming an Imagineer comes in.
Yes.
Because
I love
you
that.
Can imagine what that column would say, would list.
Well, see, yeah. And what I love about this is, as I work with people, especially people that are early on, Tamlin, in addiction, their brain has been damaged by all of the drug use and alcohol use, and the sucker's mm-hmm. just not working right. That's just the way we are. I'm not putting anybody down. So words and coming up with that stuff can be hard. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, what is, and you just give me the idea, it's about this art, kind of more of a symbolic art approach to this whole thing, what they'd mm-hmm. look like recovering, because we've got to break that old relationship down, but that's not enough. We've got to replace it. And it's really effective, because I'll say this, and then before we run out of time, we got to get to the events coming up. It's if we don't replace the old stuff. All right. Our addiction, what we were doing, drugs and alcohol, really wasn't a negative thing. It was a positive thing. I just wanted to feel good. I wanted to be able to dance. I wanted not to feel, which if you're feeling.
I wanted to avoid.
You know, I could talk to people. I could be the life of the party. All these things I was really trying to do. And then it quits working and starts taking away instead of adding. But if you stay in that loop and not get to the place where you trying to do that same thing, but in healthy ways. I'm trying to make me feel good about myself. I'm trying to mm-hmm. be able to deal with my feelings on a healthy way and stuff. So, all right. I'm digressing. I'm getting the look from my sweetie.
No.
Was that a look of more or that
no.
look of shut up?
Nope, just fine where you are.
God, I love my barometer over here. All right, so we have got an event coming up. Because, all right, so here you are, you're in recovery, you're working your butt off to replace it with stuff, and one of the things that we really can do to replace the old need for drugs and stuff is creativity. And you
yes.
and a friend of ours by the name of David Grayson have teamed up mm-hmm. with the Drug Education Council and some others, and we're doing something to try to build a synergy around people in recovery and their creativity. So that's a segue.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, first of all, I was so thrilled when David and Marcia Grayson came up to me and said, would you, you know, help us? They had teamed up with the Drug Education Council of Mobile, and they were going to have 1 month celebrating art in recovery. And you know, when they asked me to help, I was so jazzed, because that's exactly what I do. That's my wheelhouse, you know.
Right, exactly.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have a booth at the Art Center in Fairhope on the Art Walk, which is the first Friday, which is going to be actually it's going to be January 7th. Rather than the first, because that's, you know, New Year's Day. So January 7th, we're going to have a booth there, and I'm going to show some of these examples that I've been talking about today. And then the next week at Mobile Art Walk, I have been invited to have a showing at the Sofiella Gallery, and that's 111 Dauphin Street. And I'm going to be having the showing there for the whole month of January. I'm actually going to put it up on January 8th, I think. And so you can go in there and actually see the artwork that my students have done. And then I'm going to give a presentation on that Saturday, which is January 8th at 11 o'clock at the Sophie Ella Gallery. So what we're trying to do is we're just trying to make people more aware that art is a wonderful way to discover more about yourself when you're in recovery. And it can be recovery from anything, any addiction, you know, or any, you know, bullying or anything. Art is an important piece in helping you get your emotions out. Okay. Yes. So, and one thing that I really, really wanted to mention too was, David and Marcia Grayson had this beautiful young daughter, Mary Catherine, and she made this painting before she passed, and it was made in 2003, and it's a self-portrait, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork, and, you know, there are no mistakes in art. There are no mistakes in art. And look at here, she has a bow on her head. But when you look at it, and I ask anybody about it, they say it looks like a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what makes me think that, you know, perhaps it is a Band-Aid is because, you know, she was already having some issues and trouble at this time. But I just want to honor her. I want to honor her because Mary Catherine is the one that started this whole art and recovery. So thanks to her mom and dad, David and Marcia Grayson, we are going to have art and recovery every January. Just to have people realize that art is a powerful tool in discovering more about yourself. And when you discover more about yourself, you make better choices.
And our listeners out there might remember that Mary Catherine's story, David and Marcia Grayson told their story, Mary Catherine's story also on a podcast, and it's very powerful.
Yeah, so I'm going to link it in the description here, too, if people want to know more.
Yeah, and make connection to that artwork. That's awesome. So we're going to first Friday night in Fairhope, and then the following Friday night in Mobile, we're going to get to meet you and stuff. But I'm kind of hoping, as we put the word out there, that if you're interested in being creativity around this area of recovery, and I love the fact that you can be recovering, the fact that you had a son or daughter that overdosed or committed suicide or from a mental illness, there's no stigma, no shame than what we're trying to do here. So I'm going to be hanging around in that area. I'm a musician and stuff, so maybe there'll be some musicians that want to come together and talk and meet up. There can be some synergy because this could be something that we could actually create a group or something of people that could kind of get together.
Because art is not just visual art. It's music. It's drama. It's writing. It's movement. You know, just being creative is art. So,
you know, when I first...
I'm with you.
When I first started recovering, but for years, I handled my childhood sexual abuse through poetry, through writing stories, and I never really admitted that's what I was going to ask you earlier. Art is an expression for trauma. I can do a metaphor of my abuse in, you know, chicken eggs. No one has to know that the chicken eggs are a metaphor for my abuse. But it allows me to write and get that pain and those feelings out. And then at some point, if I have the nerve or the trust or whatever, I can talk about what the metaphor is. But I don't ever have to. No one has to know that red is the sign of you know, what happened to me or whatever that is. So it's one of the things I love about, you know, art as an expression for your trauma.
Exactly. Exactly. And when they see it on a canvas, it's not living in their soul anymore.
Right, right.
You know, they've taken it from their soul and onto their canvas so they can separate themselves from the traumatic events. You know, eventually this is, you know, this is the more you discover about yourself, the better you feel about yourself and the more healed you are. And so it's a, you know, it's a process, but it's a great addition to talk therapy.
Yes.
Healing from any shame, any stigma, any disease, anything is connection. It's mm-hmm. connection, connection, mm-hmm. connection. And I got to start connecting to myself. You know, mm-hmm. I can remember some of the exercises I did early on, the art and some of the stuff that I did early on. I really got to the place like, oh, wow, I really do need help. I didn't even aware that this is mm-hmm. what was going on and I do need help. Mm-hmm. But it's that mm-hmm. connection to myself. And then I come through as I become connected to myself and I slowly enable through my art and through this abstract way of communicating myself that, it's funny, the trust and that connection, because mm-hmm. we can't have connection without trust. Right. So it's a, mm-hmm. it's what comes first, the chicken or the egg, mm-hmm. the connection or the trust. So it's, mm-hmm. yeah, this is awesome. So the first Friday in January, coming up here.
Art Walk is on January 7th in Fairhope.
Right. And
January 14th in Mobile. At Sofiella Gallery.
And that's right across from Fairhope City Hall, right? Is that correct?
No, it's at the Art Center. I'm going to be at the Art Center outside. I'm going to have a booth outside the Art Center at the Fairhope Art Walk.
Fairhope Art Walk. Outside the Fair. All right. I'll okay. clean this mm-hmm. all up. We'll get good clean directions towards the end. More editing for me. Yay. All right. You have anything else? You got a call to action over there, beautiful lady?
I got two. As I'm listening to Tamlin today, I'm thinking I really want to just encourage a lot of people to, you know, therapists, teachers, whatever, to take a look at her books. Mm-hmm. Go onto her mm-hmm. website. I'll put the link in the description. Go onto her website and get a book. Just, you know, I mean, we got this one here, and I'm looking through it for a lot of things. We don't even have children in our house. You know, we'll be using some of these activities in some of the things I do. And so go grab a book and buy it for your child's teacher. It's just, you know, I think it's just a great, great thing. But the other thing that I wanted to point out is we have a lot of stuff we're working on for Now Sober Families. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have Tamlin on today. You know, she's not talking just about your recovery or someone's recovery. She's talking about the family recovery, how that family can communicate through art and what you can learn about your family members through art. And one of the things we're trying to do is, is creating courses that help the families come together and the families communicate. So, having said that, if you head on over to nowsobercoach.com, you can take a look at some of the work we're doing there. We're not ready to roll it out yet, but I am getting information in there slowly and surely. And I'm actually think that's where I'm going to put Tamlin's. I'm going to put Tamlin's images is in a blog on nowsobercoach.com, so that they can pull them out and take a look at them, because it's really hard to do that through podcast. I can look at the screen all I want, and all I'm going to see is that image of our brand.
We and say along that, and it's rolling out, and we don't want to talk about it too premature, no. But this is definitely coming down the road that Gina and I are going to be taking the fundamentals to the whole family. Mm-hmm. The science is out there. Mm-hmm. The science is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. That the most successful recovery from any mental illness, substance abuse, eating addictions, whatever it is, comes when the whole family is right. taught. And there are new mm-hmm. ways. There are some old concepts out there in some of the programs that have served well and have moved us forward, but they have come up with some more gentle, kinder, scientific ways to approach this. And Gina and I are going to be bringing that to the families of some of the sober living homes to start with. And we really want to do that. And it's going to be about a 12-week course where we gently do that. And then,
and I'd be glad to donate some books for that effort, because with these lessons, and again, they're in a lesson plan format, it has all the supplies that you need, and the time frames and the questions to ask at the end also. And so I will donate these books to your cause, because I think it is a wonderful way for families to understand more about what's going on in their dynamic.
Absolutely. We've said again and again that the most important part is connection. And we've also added that, that support is very important. But if the family doesn't know how to connect, doesn't know how to support each other, then it's not going to be effective at all. You know,
I'm stuttering here because that's just how important this is to me, is if the family would catch on from that one art piece where that young man is sitting in the corner, isolated, unimportant, if the family would turn their focus from forcing the addict to behave in such a way or cajoling or whatever, and turn to including that person, how they feel, how what's going on with that person, turn around and put the attention and love on that person, that single dynamic would go a long way to healing the family. When we're talking about the needed, that picture right there, you know.
Yep.
But when we talk about the whole dynamic has got to change, the whole dysfunctional system needs to be restructured in a way.
And that's the dysfunctional system right there.
Yeah, everybody's focused on
that. And for the 9-year-old little boy to make them all aware of it through a piece of artwork.
Yeah,
that's the miracle of art. That's the magic.
And I am, being a former band director at Tamlin, I am skill oriented. It's one thing to talk about the theory of playing a clarinet or whatever, but in junior high, somewhere along the way, you're going to have to teach them how to put the instrument together and how to get it in their mouth and how to make a decent sound. And it's the same thing. We can sit around and talk about all the theories, all the education, read all the self-help books and everything, but somewhere along the way, you got to put the clarinet together. And what I love about the stuff that Gina and I are coming together is we actually got skills with that. And that's what I love about what you do, is we get into skills, into behavior. We're doing something, that tactile learning. I'm a teacher of instruments, and I love tactile learning. Get your hands on it and try to make a mistake. So I digress. I really thank you for the books. We're going to use those. We're going to pray to the universe and the power to find you ways to get involved with us and move that forward. I just see that. Are you familiar with the word gestalt?
Yes.
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 I'm a big believer in gestalt.
I'm looking forward to helping you with this project and teaming up. And I think it's a great thing that you're doing, because again, it's not just the one individual, it's the whole family.
It's the gestalt. And if you don't know what that word is, it's a German word out there in podcast land. Your homework that I'm assigning to y'all is look that word up. It's one of the neatest words. Here's a hint. 1 and 1 does not equal 2.
Nope.
All right. So are you ready?
I want to thank Tamlin myself as well for being part of Back Porch Chats and coming on today. I've learned a lot. So thank you, Tamlin.
Thank you, Jeannie. I've enjoyed my time with you.
Oh, yes. It's the start of something beautiful.
Yes.
It is. It is. And I hope to see everybody on the 2 art walks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Learn more about what we're doing.
Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah, I'll be bringing my camera and some of my lights, and we'll see if we can't record some things for future stuff and just the whole 9 yards. I believe in doing.
We got a plan.
How corny is that?
I said, what was that?
I just believe in doing. You got to do. You got to
do.
Practice doing and start just doing.
Right.
Enough of my silliness. Backportschats.com. Check us out. Now sobercoach.com. There'll be a blog out there. More information getting this to you. And stay tuned. We love the families and helping them recover.